And if you'd all stand for the reading of the word, we're going to Acts chapter 5, verses 17 through 26. The high priest, together with his allies, the Sadducees, was overcome with jealousy. They seized the apostles and made a public show of putting them in prison. An angel from the Lord opened the prison doors during the night and led them out. The angel told them, "Go, take your place in the temple and tell the people everything about this new life." Early in the morning, they went into the temple as they had been told and began to teach. When the high priest and his colleagues gathered, they convened in the Jerusalem council, that is, the full assembly of Israel's elders. They sent word to the prison to have the apostles brought before them. However, the guards did not find them in the prison. They returned and reported, "We found the prison locked and well secured, with guards standing at the doors. But when we opened the doors, we found no one inside." When they received this news, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were baffled and wondered what might be happening. Just then, someone arrived and announced, "Look, the people you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching to the people." The captain left with his guards and brought the apostles back. They didn't use force because they were afraid the people would stone them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Please be seated. Well, I've said it before. And some of you heard me. But I'll say it again. As long as we are not doing anything, evil has no reason to be concerned with us. But the moment we start making positive changes in our personal lives or develop what seems to be a successful ministry in the church, watch out. Evil is going to take action. Ask any recovering addict or alcoholic. How many friends and maybe even family members suddenly become so concerned about them having fun? They're overly focused on getting them to go to the party and maybe just take one little sip. I mean, what could it hurt? They've stopped before. It's not a big deal. Besides, think of the fun you're going to be missing. I'll tell you, it happens to them all the time. The minute they get their lives straightened out. Or what about the person who decides to become more intentional about their faith development? Oh, they may have been kind of fringe members of the church, attending worship and doing various odd jobs, but suddenly they decide to take the next step. They're going to develop time for daily devotionals and become more fully involved in the life of the church. Bible studies, service projects, special events. And the minute it seems as though they begin to carry out their plans, it's amazing the scheduling conflicts that develop. A friend they haven't seen in years invites them on a canoe trip at the very same week as the mission trip. And until the Bible study started, they never realized how many events were actually planned on Wednesday. It seems like no matter how hard they try or how good their intentions are, the circumstances are just working against them. And what's true for individuals, it's true for congregations. I can tell you, it is an absolute guarantee that those who never disagree on anything more important than where to hang the mirror in the women's bathroom, and I actually pastored that congregation, we had several meetings arguing about where to put the mirror. When that's the most important thing they have on their minds, they're fine. Until they decide to expand a program, Develop an outreach ministry or focus on developing disciples, not just members. And suddenly, people who have always gotten along are at each other's throats. Suddenly, arguments are interrupting. Financial problems develop. There's an unexpected change in the leadership, and the pastor is reappointed, or a respected lay leader suddenly discovers that they're going to be relocated, and they either go or lose their job, and everything is in turmoil. Is it all coincidence? Or maybe just a streak of bad luck? Or is it evil fighting back? Now, please understand, I'm not talking about a little red man who looks something like this or that or even this. I'm talking about evil. I am talking about evil that is so well disguised that we don't even notice it until it becomes threatened by something or someone that's happening. Something so good, so holy, that it is obvious the Holy Spirit is moving. That people are becoming filled with a power and a vision that could only come from on high. That is the only time evil has to fight back. And fight it will. You know, that's what was happening in today's scripture. It names Peter early on, and it keeps talking about the other apostles. Peter has had so much success, and people have come to respect him so much that even if his shadow falls on a sick person, they're healed. I mean, he has power. And people are flocking to hear him. They're teaching all over Jerusalem. And we're told that more and more people are becoming believers. And on the one hand, like we discussed last week, there are successes to be celebrated. The Spirit was obviously using them to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Good things were happening. But on the other hand, not everyone was pleased with their success, especially the religious authorities whose power was being threatened. So the authorities did what powerful people do when their power is threatened. When their authority is challenged, when people are questioning them, powerful people use their power to stay in power. And so it was for the temple authorities. They used their power to have the apostles arrested and put in prison. Now here's where things get interesting. Because sometime during the night, the angel came and the apostles managed to be released. The doors are still locked, the guards are still standing there, but the apostles are gone. But in place of telling the apostles to leave the city or to find a safe place until things blow over, the angel sends them right back to the place where the trouble started, right back to the place where they are guaranteed to get into even more trouble. Go back to the temple and keep on teaching. Don't back down. Don't stop. Keep going. Once there, they begin healing the sick and they are teaching the willing. And yes, they get rearrested. But they were promised that the Holy Spirit would still be with them. While things could, and they did, get worse, if they continued to rely on the Holy Spirit to guide them, they were reassured that in the end, all would be well. Now, how bad did things get for them? They were beaten. 50 lashes is enough to kill a person. And the scriptures say that when it was over, they continued to praise God. Now, Christians, far too often we get the message that if you get right with Jesus Christ, if we're faithful enough and follow his teachings closely enough, our lives are going to be blessed. I mean, our children are going to be good, our marriages are going to be outstanding, everything about everything is going to be really, really good. It's going to be better than what most people dream of because we are right with Jesus. Yet, when we read today's passage and the others that are like it in the book of Acts, or when we study the religious life of the giants throughout history, we discover that more often than not, the opposite is true. The more obedient a person becomes, the more trouble they seem to have. Why? Because evil will always fight against that which is good. Guaranteed. You can't run from it. You can't hide from it. All you can do is challenge it by outserving it, outloving it, and outbelieving it. The only way that the power of evil in this world will ever be defeated is when it comes up against the power of the Holy Spirit. It is that power that frees us to become the people we were meant to be, people who continue to love and to serve God regardless of the circumstances or the immediate outcome, people who believe that the power of the Holy Spirit will sustain us through whatever trials we face. How many of you remember the children's program, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood? Would you be, could you be, would you be my neighbor? It aired in this country in February of 1968. He'd been in Canada the year before testing the program, but he came back. Now, you may recall that 1968 was not a good time in this country. It was a time of great civil unrest. Among the many problems, including Vietnam, segregation was being challenged. And the more things were challenged, the more the power was threatened, the worse things got. By 1969, riots had erupted in almost every major city in the country. The Democratic National Convention had gone up in flames, basically. And people were becoming horrified. They were horrified at what they saw on the nightly news. Do any of you remember the news breaking when the church was blown up and children were killed? Do you remember watching as peaceful demonstrators had water hoses used on them and police dogs sicked on him? Do you remember that? It was a level of violence that most of us had been sheltered from. And before it was all over, who watched when Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated? Did you have the TV on? Did you watch the reruns? Wow. Well, in the midst of it all, Fred Rogers came on the television every afternoon with a message of inclusivity. Remember how he ended every show, the last line he always spoke? Anybody? I like you just the way you are. Every day. He reassured children and their adult friends that they were loved. But in the midst of it all, everything that was going outside, Rogers, who was an ordained Presbyterian pastor, became convinced that he had to do more. He needed to take a stand that was so clear, no one could miss what he was saying. And so, empowered by his faith and strengthened by the Holy Spirit, at the height of the unrest and violence, he did the unthinkable. Fred Rogers risked his reputation, his career, his safety. He risked everything to do what had never been done in this country before. Take a look.
That feels good. Oh, there's Officer Clemens. Hi, Officer Clemens. Come in.
Mr. Rogers, how are you?
Fine. Won't you sit down?
Oh, sure. Just for a moment.
It's so warm. I was just putting some water on my feet.
Oh, it sure is.
Would you like to join me?
It looks awfully enjoyable, but I don't have a towel or anything.
Oh, you share mine.
Okay.
Sure.
Oh,
come along,
man.
I'll put some more water in here.
Oh. This is going to turn into a beautiful day.
You like bare feet?
Well, yeah, as I grew older, I liked it more and more.
Good for you. You're pulling up your pants. I forgot to do that at first.
Oh, I don't want them to get wet.
Right.
Oh, that feels great.
Right here.
You know, when you're a policeman, you do an awful lot of walking. And sometimes your feet get tired.
Right.
That feels better already.
Good.
Just massage them a little bit.
Cool water on a hot day.
Well, thank you for your refreshments.
Oh, I'm glad you like it.
You're welcome, Officer Clemens.
Shall we turn this off?
Mm-hmm. Is that enough?
Oh, that's fine. Well, that was so enjoyable. I'm sorry I couldn't stay longer.
Well, I know how busy you are, but sometimes just a minute like this will really make a difference.
There, that one's dry. And now, that one. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Who can put your hand in my hand and be ready to feel all safe and strong? You're a child, so you can do it. Children do it all life long. There we are.
Great boots to fill, Officer Clements.
And well, thank you
fill
very
them
much.
Well. Thanks
thank
for
you.
Stopping by.
So long.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
It was the first time in this nation's history that we saw a black person and a white person sharing the same pool at a time when segregation was fighting to keep the pools just as they were. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, Fred Rogers found the freedom to take a stand and to tell the truth. God loves each of us just the way we are. And for one very brief moment in this country's history, we fell silent. And the entire nation heard. One man, filled with the Holy Spirit, helped bring sanity back to our country. And that same Spirit, that same power is here today, filling us with a message the world needs to hear. But are we listening? More importantly, are we ready to respond? To God be the glory. And all God's children say, amen.